The Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation wants to get out the vote after finding that 603,000 eligible black voters in Ohio sat out the 2022 midterms. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss those findings and the issues black voters are focused on are Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation President Shayla Davis, Regional Intern Cameron Hawkins, Cincinnati Precinct 5 Captain Ozzie Davis, and Ohio Young Black Democrats Southwest Chapter President Veda Stevens. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, great to have you in the studio. Shayla, your study found, as I mentioned, that 603,000 of Ohio's eligible black voters didn't cast a ballot in the 2022 midterm elections. What percentage of Ohio's black voters does that represent? That feels like a lot of people.
It is a tremendously large number, Lucy, and that's 58% of our black registered voting population across the state of Ohio. 58%.
Wow. So more than half.
More than half.
Yeah.
Yes.
What can you tell us about these voters, how old they are, where they live, that sort of thing?
And so what we discovered is that they're in the primary 8 counties across our state. So that would be Cuyahoga County, Franklin County, Hamilton County, Montgomery County, Mahoning County, Lucas County. I have to do with my fingers so I can remember. Butler County and also Summit County. So those are the 8 primary counties. And if we're specifically talking about the Southwest region, we're talking about Hamilton, Butler, and Montgomery County. And there's about 96 And between those 3 counties, there's 173,000 in the Cincinnati area. But across the state, 603,000 who we know are registered voters, they participate. So these are not voters that have been labeled as low propensity voters, right? These are individuals who actually show up to the polls and vote, but they vote during presidential elections. Mm. And what we're trying to do is get the word out to encourage individuals that these are people that we know vote. They see the value and the power, but there's some sort of disconnect when it comes to the midterm election season. And so we want to bring the issues directly to them in hopes that they would be willing to change that. But that population, the biggest number is 239,000 between the ages of 25 and 44 years old. So we have labeled them and deemed them to be the working class individuals across the state of Ohio.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Ozzie, Shayla just mentioned 96,000 of these black voters live in Hamilton County. What do you see in your precinct during midterm elections?
Well, I'm actually 15C.
Oh, 15C. I apologize. Thank you for correcting me.
It's all good. We've got about 943 registered voters in 15C, and about 105 of them voted in the last midterm. Mm-hmm. So we see an opportunity to go get that 750 some odd votes and are actively seeking ways to knock on every door, get every voter to know the importance of the midterm election. It's just as important as the presidential, if not more.
Yeah. Well, and is that a pattern that you've noticed over time, so many fewer voters during the midterms than the presidential elections?
Well, I'd have to give credit to the Legislative Black Caucus Foundation for doing this report, because I had no idea that it was so massive a difference between the midterm and the presidential. So I may have noticed if I were looking at it, but I hadn't paid attention to it before, and I would not have thought it was such a distinct difference.
Yeah. Veda, as Shayla mentioned, the largest group of these voters are between the ages of 25 and 44. What do you think is stopping these voters from participating in the midterms?
Yeah. I think it's important to understand that these voters are our neighbors. These voters are taxpayers. These voters are folks who are raising families. These voters are people that own property. They're small business owners. They're not, in this other category. And I think a lot of times what you see is engagement is always placed within the latter part of the year, last 6 weeks or so. And a lot of times you see this 30-day program. My question is, what is happening in the off years, the off seasons? It's no secret that the presidential elections normally bring out all of the funding and national attention and major media news. But as the Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation articulated in that report, you will find that it's in the midterms that you see elections as it relates to the governorship, as it relates to the Senate and the House of Representatives and the State House and local government. And those issues, in my opinion, have even a more bigger and direct impact on the ground. You also see a lack of investment early on in communities and particularly with young people, and being able to translate what it means when you vote at the ballot box to what that looks like down at City Hall, what it looks like down at the County Commission, what it looks like down at the State House. If you pay taxes, you are afforded representation. And it's getting people to understand that these issues affect their everyday lives, from access to health care, access to affordable housing, education. And we're talking about working families. We're talking about folks that make up this larger ecosystem. And so I would say it's a conversation around engagement. It's a conversation around investment. And we also have to look at how we're articulating the issues and the messaging, right? The number one issue right now is affordability. And how do we stay afloat? How do we bring relief? How do we remove the burden? And young people are feeling that. July, we just saw the impacts of the Big Beautiful Bill as it relates to changes in student loans and as it relates to borrowing and how folks are going to be able to obtain education. And that impacts younger voters.
I want to get you involved in this conversation, Cameron. What do you think? I'm not going to ask you to say how old you are on the air. I can tell you're very much younger than I am. What do you think is getting in the way for younger voters when it comes to really participating in these midterm elections?
I think it has something to do with understanding the impact that these midterm elections have on the bigger elections, like the presidential election. I think a lot when I talk to my friends, they don't fully understand, like, how big of a deal that this really is and how this smaller election, even like school boards, how that trickles all the way up to the presidential election. I think it's really important that we focus more on just the education on that aspect, making sure that young voters understand like the grasp and are able to grasp like what these elections really mean.
Yeah, like Veda said, the impact they have on, mm-hmm. on their day-to-day lives. Well, we are talking about Black voters in Ohio who did not vote in the 2022 midterms and efforts to re-engage them. Are you a Black Ohio voter? We want to hear from you. Call 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Shayla, your report, which I thought was fascinating, lists barriers by design as yes. one reason this gap exists. Can you explain what you're talking about there?
So, yes, we're talking specifically about our Ohio legislature and the supermajority that we have and the voter suppression and oppression that's been done. And it didn't just start this year or last year. It's been for multiple GAs and what people are experiencing. And so this isn't just a Black issue. But there's a predominance of Ohioans that are impacted by this. And when I think I just had this conversation earlier on the local radio station here when we were talking about, we now know that there is a drop box. Only one in each county. Some counties are far larger than others. If you look at my county in Cuyahoga County, we have far more people than sometimes what five or six counties may make up. But there's one voter box. We know that early voting has been cut back. We know that Ohio has one of the most extreme voter ID laws that have been passed in the last 10 years across this nation. So those are issues and barriers. If we look at the bill that was thankfully vetoed by Governor DeWine last week, the House bill that started out as an opportunity for homeless individuals to receive valid identification for free and with supports turned into a voter suppression bill. It was an forcing individuals to have to prove for early voting that they had identification, which we already have that in place. It's already in our Constitution, which is another issue that will be on the ballot. And so those are the issues that we're talking about. We're talking about polling locations changing. Now, we do understand that population causes polling locations to change, correct? But when people are getting that information once they get to the polls, or they're not receiving that information at all. We're also talking about the purger of voters being removed off of our rolls here in Ohio. So while we're talking about this 603,000 across the state, we also have to talk about people making sure that they're still currently registered, because you could have voted in a presidential election and you could have still been purged. And so it's important that we look at all those things, but those are barriers that help to create and cause a buildup of why people end up giving up. Someone could have been on their way and they've got 5 minutes because they've just gotten off the bus for a 2-hour ride from their job to go and vote. And they get to that ballot box and they find out, this is not my voting location. Mm. And someone says, well, you don't want to vote provisionally. They don't really understand what that means. And so they're discouraged and they leave. There's a multitude of reasons why these things happen. But voter suppression and oppression is a real thing. We see it happening across the nation. And I'm continuing to tell people, I consider Ohio to be one of the most northernest, southernest states. And what's happening in the South is absolutely happening here. It may not look the same. It may not be as loud and bold, but it's the same concept, oppression, and we've got to do something to get involved. So those are the barriers that we're talking about in our report.
Yeah. Veda, Shayla just mentioned this risk that with inactive voters or voters who are labeled inactive, they can get scrubbed from the voter rolls. How long does it take for that to happen? What's the time frame, and how concerned are you about that?
Yeah, I'm very concerned about it, because what you have taking place is essentially a pulling away of some of these hard-fought rights without appropriate notice. The fight for voting rights is something that has continued for every generation, really. It didn't stop during Jim Crow. It didn't stop during the Civil Rights Movement. It didn't stop when President Obama was elected to office. It didn't stop with Shelby v. Holder. It didn't stop with this recent move with the Supreme Court involving Louisiana. I mean, what we read about in the history books is playing out before us, right? And people are not being given due process to be represented and to be properly educated on how to make sure that they are staying active, that they are educated and well-informed, and that they can exercise their right to vote. And I would dare say, because it's the fact that their vote has power, their voice makes an impact and it makes a dent. It's no secret that in the state of Ohio, many of these races, it's very a minimal margin in terms of being able to move the ticket. And when you talk about 600,000 or so, if even a fraction of that were to wake up, if a fraction of that were to double check their IDs, make sure that their license is not expired, and make sure, before we can even talk about voting down ballot, we have to make sure folks don't get disqualified in the first place, because that's what this game is, right? That's the phase we're in. Now it becomes not how do we register more people, but how do we hold on and retain these individuals and get them off of their couches and readily informed and excited and energized. And then once they get to the polls, they're not disqualified and they're not cast into provisional and they're not getting the runaround at the wrong polling location. And so while I may not have the specific time and data on how quickly individuals have, I do know for a fact that these types of tactics are indeed playing out, and you're seeing thousands scrubbed without that proper notification and proper due process. And in some cases, it appears to be intentional.
Ozzy, I see you nodding your head. You want to weigh in on that?
Well, I think it's very important that each of us understand we have a role to play, and it starts with ourselves, but it also extends to the folk on your street, and it's precinct by precinct, neighborhood by neighborhood, city by city. President Davis was saying earlier about how In North College Hill, we've got votes we can get. In Forest Park, we got votes we can get. And in the northwest part of Cincinnati, Corrine, we've got votes we can get. And we have to concentrate once we are validated and once we do know that we are registered and able to vote, we have to then concentrate on getting everybody we know to vote. It may sound simple, but it's really incumbent upon each of us individually to make sure this happens.
Well, we are going to take a quick break and then we'll continue this conversation. And later in the program, why Cincinnati City Council voted to give $2 million to Farmer Music Center. This is Cincinnati Edition. Cincinnati Edition is working on a show in the run-up to the midterms, and we need your help. What are the top issues on your mind this election? Call us at 513-419-7100. Leave your name and a message. We might use your comment on a future show. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about Black voters who did not vote in the 2022 midterms in Ohio and Get Out the Vote efforts. My guests are Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation President Shayla Davis, Regional Intern Cameron Hawkins, Cincinnati Precinct 15C Captain Ozzie Davis, and Ohio Young Black Democrats Southwest Chapter President Veda Stevens. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Ozzie, you have been active and engaged in Cincinnati for a long time now. How do you see these findings playing out in Cincinnati? Talk a little bit more about that. You mentioned just what you see in your own precinct, but what do you think they mean here locally?
Well, I think they are very informative. I think they, I think they help the folk that are running for office understand that they have to make specific outreach to this population. I think the folk that are wanting to vote but not voting have to be encouraged by the ideal that there are so many of us that can make a difference. And you can actually, if you look at the numbers, you can see that you can be the decision maker.
A few votes in some of those races.
Well, I'm still in some of President Davis's information, but I think it was 164,000 was the separation in the last governor race. If we just get half of the 600, we've got 300,000. You could be the deciding base. And the report, I think, is, like you said, fascinating. And having that knowledge, like Cameron said, that knowledge is critical. And having that knowledge, I think, will really inspire voters. I'm very hopeful because of the report that folk will be more encouraged to actually go out and vote. But the candidates do have to speak specifically to Black voters about what are the benefits for them, because quite frankly, politics is what's in it for me type of business. And if Black voters don't feel they're being spoken to specifically, I'm, afraid that we'll get more of the same.
And we're going to talk about Get Out the Vote efforts. But first, Cameron, I want to ask you, with young Black voters in particular, what do you think it takes to really earn and keep their trust and keep them engaged in the process? Because it can be easy to get discouraged if you're the candidate you like doesn't win, or the issue that you're really hoping for doesn't pass or whatever. What do you think it really takes to earn and build that trust?
I think it takes doing what you said that you were going to do, whether or not you're the person that someone voted for. I think just voters seeing that the people who are elected follow through. And I think this, if you're a Democrat and maybe, like, for instance, I voted for one Democrat, but the other Democrat won, just making sure you work with your party, because all Democrats tend to have very similar goals. Same with Republicans. I think it's important that you just bring in the broad group by really focusing on those goals, making sure that you follow through and keep engaging those voters. It doesn't end right after the election. You really have to keep reaching out to them through social media, through appearances, through going to events to really make sure that the base that voted for you is being heard and feels like they won something out of this election too.
Yeah. I want to ask you this, Veda. You talked a little bit before about some of the issues that really matter to everybody right now. What do you think are the issues that speak most directly to the Black voters you talk with?
You know, it's interesting that prior to earning the right to vote through the Civil Rights Act and affording these constitutional rights, you know, Dr. King was a very big advocate of economic justice. And it's interesting, it is at that point that history leaves on record, you began to see this shift in terms of, we're willing to work with you on granting voting rights. We're willing to work with you on looking at housing and maybe desegregation. But when we start talking about economic justice and closing the wealth gap and leaving behind a legacy to help people get ahead, when I talk about the affordability crisis in this country, while I am not here in my official capacity, I will tell you that is the issue that we're hearing. Folks who are trying to figure out how they're going to pay the rent, how they're going to be able to place their children in schools with quality education, how are they going to live whole and well lives when they cannot contend with these high insurance premiums and access to health care, and how am I going to provide for my family and make ends meet and do it all when I cannot access child care? I mean, there are so many issues that our community is faced with, and a lot of times we are hit with the brunt of it, right? And a lot of times it goes back to who has access and who's making decisions as it relates to who gets to have that access. And so I would say, as you look at the cost of living, as you look at property taxes, as you look at utility bill, everything is going up. Everything is going up, and people are getting squeezed and struggling to hold on and to stay afloat. And so in this hour, whether you are in the 25 to 40 bracket or up, you are looking for somebody that is going to deliver, somebody that is going to get something done. We're on the brink of where you're seeing the tide change as it relates to I'm Democrat, I'm Republican. Now you have this large block of independent voters who could care less which party you stand for. Now, I would say my party tends to get it right more than not, but we're not perfect. But fundamentally, who's able to deliver and make, as I said before, your vote at the ballot box translate to the work that's happening down in government. It's like Janet Jackson said, what have you done for me lately? That is on the people's mind. And I think once they start to see results, once they start to see somebody like UPS that can deliver tangibles and a package to their doorstep that is meant and tailor-made for you, that's when you start to see this thing turn around.
I have to say, Veda, I did not think we were going to hear a Janet Jackson quote during this conversation, but I am here for it.
Here it is. I'm a music guy.
There you go. There you go. Well, Shayla, I want to get to these get out the vote efforts, because the whole point of having this information is activating it, if I understand your organization correctly. So talk about what's going on with that in Ohio, and there are some things going on nationally, too.
Yes, and we're really excited about that. So a part of this was obviously getting out the State of Black Civic Power in Ohio report so that civic organizations, media outlets could begin to have these conversations very intentionally, respecting Black Ohioans. Because what we also know is one of the issues, to your point, no one cares about the partisan aspect of it. People want to know they're in safe, affordable communities. their children are in good public schools. There's, you know, fresh and affordable food that they can access. But they also want to be treated with dignity, honor, and respect. And that has been lost. And it didn't just happen over the last 3 years. Those are big deal issues for Black Ohioans. And so getting this report out on Juneteenth was very intentional. It was right on the heels of all the changing that happened in the South with the voting rights. But it was so that we would have about 5 to 6 months to really push this information and to really help guide civic organizations so that we're not showing up on October 8th and expecting people to turn out the vote for November 4th, and then November 5th, you see no one else again, right? That was the intentionality behind this. But then also, when we look nationally, the NAACP just released their Black voter efforts yesterday. They are spending $20 million across the nation in 14 states. Now, we're not sure Ohio is a part of it, but I have sent my call in an email hoping that we are and that they can use our survey to ensure that they are really focused on Black voters here.
I apologize to cut you off. We've had a change in plans. I've been talking with Ohio Legislative Black Caucus Foundation President Shayla Davis, Cameron Hawkins, OZ Davis, and Veda Stevens. Thank you all so much for your time today. Up next, Cincinnati Opera's Black Opera Project.